Okay. Wonder if you could turn to the book of First Thessalonians. I'm sorry, it's Thessalonians. First Thessalonians. You have your Bible. If you have a Bible, you should always bring it, because we're always going to be in the Word somewhere when we gather together. Okay? It isn't just singing and praising, but it's also partaking of the life of the Word. Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. Now, he didn't mean literally we're going to become cannibals. And, of course, there were people who thought that, and they left him. They said, no, we can't take this. People have a hard time understanding sometimes that the Bible is a spiritual book. And the language in the Bible is spiritual language. Now, if I tell you that Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, if you want to be natural, you'll go to the Catholic Church and say, well, we're changing this bread and we're changing this wine into his literal. No, that it's spiritual language that we're talking about. And you will not understand spiritual things until you can get over that issue. You know, I had a problem with that too when I was young. I can clearly remember that I just could not comprehend how I could be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he's not this word being seated in heavenly places with Christ, this is not a word that is directed to saints who have died and gone on to heaven. That's not what we're talking about. Amen? The Word of God, the written Word of God, the Bible, amen, is written for people who are alive and breathing here in the land of the living. Amen? The people that have gone on, who are in the fullness of the presence of God, they don't need this anymore. Amen? Well, I don't know. Maybe they do. But I shouldn't be speaking about what things are on there. But I know that we need it here. And this is our life. Amen? The Word and the Spirit, they are the life. Now, there were two, I talked to Linda on the phone. I hope you don't mind my mentioning this. I mentioned this last week. There was a sister in Illinois, and she wrote me a little email, and she said, the Lord says high time. Okay? And I said to the Lord, what is high time? What does high time mean? And of course, for the benefit of you that weren't here last week, let me just briefly read this verse from Romans. I'm not going to preach out of Romans again. But Romans, the 13th chapter, to what Jesus is saying, and this is the word that she said, and no more than had we received this word, and I talked to this sister here, and she said something very similar. God is saying it's time to wake up, time to get our act together. You know, it's the Lord is calling this. And if the Lord is speaking this to the body of Christ, then it's time. Amen? All right, so from Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. Didn't we sing that song this morning? Didn't we? Yeah, I thought we did. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know what that means, make no provision for the flesh? That means if you've repented of something, I don't know, let me try to find some example. Let's say that you were a man given over to smoking marijuana, okay? And there are certain accouterments. You're familiar with that word, aren't you? Paraphernalia that sometimes go with that. I remember I was in New York City. I was, 29 years old. I'd never seen one of these things. I was down in Greenwich Village. I had to spend the whole summer there, by the way, because I was working at NYU Med Center as an administrative intern. And I walked into one of these little shops down in Greenwich Village, and I saw this little glass thing, and it had little pipes coming out of the side of it. And I says to the man in the shop, I said, "What is that thing?" He says, "That's a bong." I said, "What's that? What's it for?" And I don't know what he told me. Probably said, "Listen, if you don't know what it is, get out of here." But okay, now, if the Lord delivers the man from that, he better get rid of that thing. That's make it, why? Why should he keep it? Because he's making provision for the flesh. You know, I've seen people delivered of cigarettes. Delivered. Miraculously delivered. And the guy still has a pack of them in his vest pocket. And I say, "Okay, you're delivered. What are you going to do with it?" "Well, I'll just smoke the rest of these till they're gone." No. Remember when we used to pray for people like that? Take it out now, stomp on it, so that there's no way whatsoever. Why would you keep it? Because you're making provision for the flesh. Amen? A man gets delivered from having a torrid affair. He's a married man. He shouldn't be having an affair. He's having an affair with a woman. What does he do? He keeps her name, or used to be phone numbers that you'd write down. Now I guess it's all on your phone. Keeps them all on his phone. No, erase it, delete it. Make no provision to go back. Forget it. Make like you can never find that person again. Amen? Why? Because make no provision for the flesh. Those are just simple examples. You can find a whole lot more. Get delivered of alcohol, get the bottles out from under the sink and dump them out and throw them away. Make no provision. Don't keep it in the refrigerator. Don't keep anything around. There's lots and lots of ways you can apply this. Okay? Whatever your besetting sin is, make no provision for it. Amen? Okay, let's get to what the Lord is talking about here. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're still talking about the time and the season in which we are. "But of the times and seasons, brethren, I have no need that I... ye have no need that I write unto you." Would that be true of this church? Could Paul have written the letter to Thessalonians to the letter of the Adirondack Christians? "You have no need that I write to you about the times and the seasons in which we live." Are you aware of the times and seasons? Can you see from the news reports? Can you see from what's happening in the hearts and souls of people? Can you see the rebellion that's going on in the lives of people and know that this is a sign of the times in which we are living? Amen? "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, we're talking about the day of the Lord. When we talk about the time, we are talking about the day of the Lord, and we're talking about the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night. Now you say, "Brother Mark, you're using two terms. You're using the word day and you're using the word night. Which one is it?" What does it mean, the day of the Lord? Does the day of the Lord just mean a 24-hour period? Starts at midnight, ends at 11:59 the next day? No, that's not what we're talking about. The day of the Lord is a season of time. Amen? The day of the Lord is not just that instant, that moment when He appears in the clouds and every eye shall see Him and He comes to establish His kingdom in its fullness on this earth. That is not exclusive. Yes, that's the day of the Lord, but that's not all that's meant by the term the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord means a time of the Lord. And it says, coming as a thief in the night, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be literally night, okay? But night is a spiritual term. It means a time of darkness. And if you can discern the time of darkness in which we live, We're talking about a time when people make vows, as our sister shared, make a vow, say, I will do this till death do us part. But the vow doesn't mean anything because there's something else has tickled somebody's fancy. They don't want to go that way. They want to go some other way. They got some other idea in mind. We are talking about a time of darkness. Darkness in the hearts and souls of people today. Amen? So, they shall say. See, now there's a contrast here. I don't know how many times I preached on this chapter. I love this chapter. It's not my most favorite. Oh, yes, almost my most. I would say Matthew 24 is probably my most because it really hits it hard. But this one hits it hard too. What? I guess I like Matthew 24 because it was straight from the mouth of Jesus. Well, this is straight from the mouth of Jesus, but it comes through Paul. And it has a little different flavor to it, okay? Now, they shall say, are we living in a time when they shall say peace and safety?
No, yes.
We're not living in a time when people are saying, let's go to war, let's go to war. Even though people do go to war, we're still living in a time when they shall say peace and safety. And when they say peace and safety, then what's going to happen? Sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Some of the women here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the women here, did I count right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yes. Of the women here, know by personal experience what we're talking about when we say come suddenly as upon a woman in travail. I find it very interesting that God throughout the Bible uses this. It isn't just here in Thessalonians. And I know that Paul never gave birth to a child. No, he didn't. Whether he ever had a wife, he had a mother, he had a sister. We know he had a sister, and we know he had a nephew, okay? Because the nephew one time told the, shall we say, the police, that they were trying to assassinate him in Jerusalem. Okay, now, this, however, is a term that is used throughout the Bible. I cannot tell you from personal experience either what this is all about. As a nurse, I have witnessed this. I have been involved in assisting this process. But from the woman's point of view, I wish a woman were preaching this today. She could tell you. I'm quietly asleep. Tell me if I'm wrong here. Everything's going fine. I know that the calendar says it's getting close. But all of a sudden, there I am in bed, and whoop, what was that? Whoop, there he comes again. Okay, again, oh, it's getting harder, am I right? Getting stronger, getting more painful. I think it's time to go. And this thing comes suddenly upon you. Now, this is the process that God has chosen to tell us why we need to be awake. This is a bringing forth of Christ. He calls the body of Christ his bride. He says he has a bride, and he wants to come forth. He wants to come for his bride, but he wants his bride to also bring forth. What does he want us to bring forth? Christ. And how can a woman bring forth unless she has received a seed in order that something might grow and bring forth? Now, we're talking spiritual language here, okay? The seed, Matthew 13, what is the seed? The sower sowed what? He sowed the word, was he not? He was sowing the word. And the Word is what is being sown. The preaching of the Word, the reading of the Word, this is the Word. The Spirit bringing to your remembrance the Word. It is the Word that is going into the womb of the Bride of Christ, the Bride-to-be, that is, and it is to bring forth the fullness of Christ. How many of you believe that you have already come to the fullness of Christ? I'm not going to raise my hand. If you raise yours, I really want to hear from you. I want to know how you got there. Amen? But we are coming there. Amen? If you were a saint coming back from heaven and I ask you that question, you might be able to raise your hand and say, yes, I have got it now. I'm in the fullness. I'm in His full presence. I'm walking with archangels, you know. Okay? No. Okay, so we're just going to look at this now. They shall save, peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them. So, there's a contrast here between we and they. We are those who have this Word, who are reading this Word, who are understanding this Word, and who are knowing that we applies to me. They means those who do not care for this Word. Those who say everything goes on as it always has been. I don't need to worry. I don't even need to think about it. Let's just have fun. Let's boogie. Let's hop and bop. You know? Then we had a little sister that left here one time. And I asked her where she went. She told me. And I said, well, why did you go there? She says, well, they're hopping and bopping over there. And I want a hopping and bopping church. So I don't know what she got. She got hopping and bopping, I guess. So I guess you can hop and bop if you want to, but that isn't going to make you any more spiritual. You've seen worse. Okay. It says, and they will not escape. Listen, you need to warn your neighbors. They will not escape. There is a snare. There is a trap coming that is going to ensnare the whole world. Jesus said it very clearly. And they shall not escape. I just see that rabbit running down this little trail. Bup, 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 bup. He's just having a good time. He thinks he's, you know, right on top of the world. But there's a snare set in the trail. He has no idea what's happening. All of a sudden, sprung! And there he is hanging from a tree on the wire of the snare, and there's nothing he can do about it. He's been caught. Jesus said, this is what's happening. Why do we need to wake up from our sleep? Amen? But ye, brethren, amen, are not of the darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are not people of darkness. Hello? You know, it's okay to say amen if you want to. It wouldn't offend me at all. And I wouldn't mind recording the sound of some amens here. One more time. Amen? There we go. Okay. See, it's good to get rid of some spiritual arthritis, too. I used to have a lot of spiritual arthritis, man. I didn't believe in moving. I didn't believe in opening my mouth. You know, I was just the pinnacle of stoicism. I guess it was my German background. But you know, you go to Africa. Oh, they're not arthritic over there. No, no. They like to move by the Spirit. So we can have a little more of that. Okay? Maybe they can learn from us too. I don't know. Alright, so, ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day, we are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, this is the issue of sleeping. How many of you sleep every night? Yeah, I do too. Is that what we're talking about? Yeah. Does this Bible say that we can't sleep anymore? No. You see, if you want to say that you have to go literal with everything the Bible says, even the pastors that believe that cannot possibly believe what it says here. You have to sleep. I have to get my 8 hours. I don't know how much you need. I need about 8. There's people that get along with less. I've heard of certain super geniuses that somehow get along with about 3. I don't know how they do it. I'm not wired that way. I can't do that. No, let us not sleep spiritually. Why? The other side of not sleeping means what? If you're not sleeping, what are you going to do? You're going to watch and you're going to pray. How many of you know that you can watch and pray continually? How many of you believe that you can watch and pray in your sleep? Did you know that? Do you know that you can be dreaming a dream from hell and rise up and rebuke it? Yeah, because these spirits come to you when you're in your sleep. You know, I remember there was a time in my youth when certain spirits seemed to think that they could come anytime they wanted to come. And I remembered some teaching on spiritual warfare that I could rise up against that. And I began to put an end to those spirits. And I remember one particular night, this is a long time ago, this must be 40 years ago, I remember one particular night that these spirits came again, or a spirit, shall we say. And I remember saying in my sleep, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ." That thing was gone. And what we got in the habit of doing in those days, and we still do, is we would send those spirits to the abyss. Have any of you encountered spirits in your sleep that are not the right kind of spirit? Do you know that you have the power to send them to the abyss in the name of Jesus by the blood of the Lamb? You say, "Well, Brother Mark, the spirits in that went into those pigs, you know, in the days of Jesus, they said, 'Oh, no, no, please don't send us to the abyss because it's not our time.'" Well, maybe it wasn't their time then, but you know what? I believe it's their time now. Mm-hmm. I believe it's time. And you know, I remember Sister Janet. She used to send them to the abyss. And one day the Lord revealed to me, you know, she's got a reputation in hell. Because when those spirits come around to try to torment you, and they know that if you're on to them and you send them to the abyss, that's going to be the end of them. They will not be able to roam around on this world anymore and cause any more mischief. To the abyss they get bound. Amen? So you get a reputation in hell, and the spirits are going to stop bothering you. Even the spirits that you have maybe given you some kind of carnal comfort, if I dare use that word, they'll stop bothering you. And you can come into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's go. "They that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." Sleepers sleep in the night. Drunkards drink in the night. Spiritual dead people slumber in the night, the darkness of this environment that we're in. Amen? "Let us who are of the day..." How many of you are of the day? We live in a time when there's night, but we are of the day. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen? We are not world people. Why? What are we? If we're not world people, what are we? We're kingdom of God people. Amen? And that's going to be my claim. Yes, I have to live in this world. Yes, I have to endure the darkness of this world. Yes, I have to contend with the spirits of other people in the darkness of this world, but I am not of this world. I don't belong to it. I haven't bought into it. It has no claim on me. Remember what Jesus said? He said, "The prince of this world cometh and hath no what? Nothing in me. Hath nothing in me." That means that there is no hold that devil has on me. Now, brethren, you can come to the same place. You can come to the place where that devil has no hold. Do you know, by the way, do you know how they overcame Jezebel? You don't remember the story of Jezebel, do you? Jezebel and Ahab? It came time for, I believe Ahab had already been killed in the battle, and Jehu was appointed. By the way, there's been a spirit of Jezebel that tried to take over America here too. Oh yes, the Lord told me very clearly that back in 24 years ago, the Lord said, you're going to have Jezebel and her husband. And I was so shocked because I didn't know. I said, Lord, there's nobody named Jezebel running for president. And then he said, and her husband, and I knew what he meant. Okay? Now, do you know what overcomes Jezebel? A eunuch. Hello? Come on, figure it out. There was a seductive power that Jezebel had. All right, maybe not a natural, but in the natural, it was eunuchs that threw her out of the window. And she fell, and her blood splattered against the chariot and against the wall or whatever, and the dogs came and finished her off. But if you're going to overcome some of these spirits, you have to have a eunuch attitude, that this thing has no hold on me. I am not attracted. Young men, if you're going to attract the spirit of pornography, if you're going to overcome the spirit of pornography, you have to have a eunuch-type attitude toward that kind of spirit. Okay? I didn't say that you don't have any desire for a good relationship with a sister. But what we don't have is the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. You go to your computer, every once in a while, something pops up that shouldn't be there. Oh, I tell you, these advertisements are getting so aggressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just pop right up there, take over half your screen, and you spend time hunting for the little X that you can put them down, and by the time you find it, they're halfway through with their filthy advertisement. I mean, the advertisement isn't all filthy, but these filthy things come up the same way, depending on where you go in looking for things. You have to have a eunuch's attitude toward them. Amen? Put them down. Hallelujah. And Jehu, well, it doesn't help. It's good when God is ready to clean up, drain the swamp and what have you. It's good to have a Jehu to do it. You know. Come on, you got to go back and read the story of Jehu and Jezebel and Ahab. Jehu, what do I say? He was a wild man. When they saw him coming, when Ahab saw him coming, he said, was it Ahab? I forget. Anyway, when they saw him coming, they said, who is it? Who is it that's coming? And they said, he's driving furiously. It must be Jehu. It must be Jehu. So, I don't know, the Lord kind of showed me, maybe we've got Jehu now as president. He's a little bit wild, you know. People think he is anyway. I don't think he's as wild as people think he is. I think he's just unconventional. And Jehu was unconventional in his ways. I mean, he drove those horses. Boy, did he... He would have had a hot sports car if he'd been living in our time. But he did the business of the Lord. He got anointed. Elijah, I believe, is the one that anointed him to do the business. So let's go on. But let us, we're 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last week we talked about the definition of salvation. Salvation is not limited to the definition of when you first believed. Peter said, now is your salvation, was it Peter, I believe? Now is your salvation nearer than when you first believed. No, it was Peter that said a salvation to be revealed in the last time. I guess it was Paul that said the salvation near. Okay, so we are saved, we are being saved, and we are going to be saved. And this is what he's talking about here when he says the hope of salvation, obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, well, brother, I'm already saved. No, you're not saved until it's all over. You're not saved until the lady sings. Okay? In the opera. Isn't that the way they used to say it? How was that? Yogi Bear used to say, it's not over till the fat lady sings?
It's not over till it's over.
Oh, that's not over till it's over. Okay, well, anyway, it's not over till it's over. All right, let me go over now to Matthew 25. I want to look at a few other things. Matthew 25, and we're still talking about sleep and slumber here. And I don't think that I've ever approached Matthew 25 from the standpoint of sleep and slumber. Okay? So we have to look at the whole thing. It says that there were 10 virgins. The kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins. Amen? How many women here today? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 older women and one young virgin here too, a baby. This is not a natural number though, okay? This is not a natural number. The number 10 means what? Come on, you guys do math. What's 10 all about? It's an order, isn't it? When you get past 10, what do? You start another order, right? You go 11, 12, up to 20. You get to 20, it's a number 10. Then you start the 30s. Then you start the 40s. So how many of you believe that God invented mathematics for us? Wouldn't it be funny if everything were in series of nines? I just can't comprehend how that would work. He could have done it that way. But he made it for us so that 10 is the fullness of order. So 10 is the body of Christ, is it not? By the way, these virgins, what does virgin mean? Virgin means what? Come on now. It means someone who is pure, undefiled. Okay? Pure and undefiled. In the natural, it means a young woman who has never known a man or been married to a man, okay? But in the spiritual, it means the bride of Christ who has never known idolatry or other loves, shall we say, other loves. In other words, didn't we have a song this morning, Jesus, Sweet Jesus? What was that song all about? That song was all about Jesus, you're the only one I love. I don't have any other loves. I don't have anything else that draws me. There's nothing of this world that attracts me. I'm not ready to pursue any other thing. I don't want to become a millionaire or a billionaire. I'm not pursuing that. I'm not pursuing the pinnacle of some great career, so that I could be the big man, the big woman, the big glass ceiling or whatever, you know. Those are things that interest me. You know, that if you're going to be a presidential candidate, you really have to have these aspirations. I wouldn't make a good candidate. I don't aspire to those things. Might be able to run the show, but I don't aspire to it. So I wouldn't make a good candidate. And I think most of you wouldn't either. Okay? So a virgin, shall we say, we're talking about people who are saved. I mean people who first believed. Okay? People who are now in the process of working out their salvation with fear and trembling. Or who should be working out their salvation in fear and trembling. That's also salvation. It's the word saved. Okay? So it says there were 10 of them. And they all took lamps. and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, what are lamps?
Lights.
Lights. Okay. And how are they powered? What'd you say? Oh, no. No, we can... Yes, today's lamps are electric. But the lamps in the Bible are not electric. They're powered by oil. If you lived in my day, you might say they were kerosene oil. If you lived 50 or 100 years before me, you might say it was whale oil. If you lived in the Middle East, you might say it was olive oil. But in my day, they were... When I was born, we didn't have electricity. We had kerosene lamps. I bet there's nobody else here that can say they grew up in a house with kerosene lamps. Oh, you did? Oh, yeah? Okay. So you guys grew up somewhere else. Not here. You were in Jamaica and you were in Trinidad. Okay, yeah. I'll bet they have electricity there, though, now. Yeah. And when I was in my 20s in Alaska, I went into many, many villages where they did not have electricity. They had lamps. Okay? And they weren't whale oil anymore either. They had kerosene. All right, so a lamp, what is the purpose of a lamp? First of all, we didn't say what a lamp is, did we, spiritually? Do you know the Bible defines the terms? Do you know that the Bible defines what lamp means? How many of you know that? Well, Brother Mark, where am I going to find the definition? How about looking in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27? Who's going to find it for me? Proverbs, come on, you know where Proverbs is. Proverbs, it's after Psalms. 20, yes, 27. Yeah, now the word candle should be, you should cross that out and you should write the word lamp. The word candle does not really ever appear properly translated anywhere in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament. They didn't. Candles are powered by what? Paraffin, wax. Wax does not flow at room temperature. It cannot be a type of the Holy Spirit. Oil is the type of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God flows, and the Spirit of God can enlighten you by the fire and the spark that it brings. Okay? So what Venice read here is the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. So the Spirit of God, how does God minister to us? Spirit to spirit. If you look in Psalms, David said, "Deep crieth unto deep at the noise of my water spouts." Isn't that funny? The Spirit of God speaking to your spirit at the time of your tears. The water is flowing out of your eyes. And the Spirit of God is talking to your spirit. Now, your spirit is not the same as your soul. Okay? Your soul is your emotions, your will, your desires. What did I miss? Your mind. Yes, of course. The chief part of your soul is your mind. So your spirit ministers to your mind. But the Spirit of God speaks to you by the Spirit. That's why Jesus said to the woman at the well, "The Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth." You don't worship Jesus just by your emotions. How many of you know that? You can have a good time worshiping the Lord. You can emote in that, but the emotions is not really what's going to worship the Lord. You are going to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Well, what is that song? Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Okay? So we worship in spirit, brethren. Amen? You don't worship God with your mind. You don't just say, well, I'm going to meditate. You know, the world has got this meditation thing. They think that's going to be the answer to all their problems. They're going to sit with their legs all crossed up and their arms folded and hum, you know. Yeah, they're attracting these Hindu spirits, is what you're doing. You cannot cleanse your mind by the city. And the, you know what? The worst thing of all is they're bringing this thing into the schools. You need to be warning your kids and your grandkids, don't partake of this thing. Opt out. No, thank you. I have my way of coming into peace. No, see, they're speaking peace and safety. We'll have peace if we sit cross-legged and yoga and... No, yoga is a religion. I'm telling you, brethren, yoga is religion. Mm-hmm. Anything of another spirit, it's called religion. Mm-hmm. And they'll come in on any pretense that they can come in on to try to corrupt the minds of our young people. Amen? All right, so the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Man has a lamp, God has a lamp. Lamp to lamp, amen? He speaks to us. Searching all the inward parts of the belly. Not the natural belly, but the inward parts of the man. All right, so we know what the lamp is. What is the purpose of the lamp? You're out there, you've got a bright house, you've got solar house, you've got all kinds of windows on your house, the sun is shining bright. Are you going out lighting your lamp? No, you're not going to waste oil, you're not going to waste electricity. You don't need it, the sun is bright. When do you need the lamp?
When it's dark.
When it's dark. When do we need the Spirit of God? We need it most in times of darkness. Amen? What our little sister is going through is darkness right now. She needs the Spirit. She needs the lamp of God to lighten, answer every question that come into her mind. My God, hallelujah, let me hear by the Spirit of God, what am I to do in this situation? How am I to call upon your name? Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, these are just a few little tidbits here. So the foolish took their lamps, but they didn't take extra oil. You know that. See, everybody had a lamp. Every Christian, outer court Christian, half backslidden Christian, they all have a lamp. But the lamps aren't all lit, and the lamps aren't all burning brightly. So the difference was some of them had oil, which means some of them had an extra supply of the Spirit. Some of them had let their spiritual life go out. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's called backsliding. Have you ever backslid? Do you know what I mean? If you found yourself backsliding, what do you need to do about it? You need to get that lamp lit. God, I need oil. Call upon... See, the foolish virgins didn't have the oil, and they weren't ready when the midnight hour came. There was a cry made at midnight. What is midnight? Dark. Dark, darker and darkest. Amen? It's the darkest dark of the night. Midnight. Midnight. No moon. You know the moon is a picture of the church? And you know, when the moon isn't shining, it's the darkest it can be. Yeah, I don't know, you people in Schenectady, you probably can't even see the moon with all the lights there are around here.
No.
Can't see the stars, I know that. You have to get out in the country. You have to get way out sometimes to really see the stars. Amen? But the church is not very bright right now either. There's not much light coming from the church. The church is supposed to reflect the nature of God, and the church is not doing that. The church is busy boogieing, hopping and bopping, having a good time, getting everybody prosperous, what have you. They're not doing what they were supposed to do. Okay, so when they found out they didn't have enough oil, you know when you're going to find out whether you've got enough oil or not? When midnight comes. Midnight is coming. We read it in Thessalonians. We read it in Matthew. There is a dark, 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 horribly dark, such as never, ever was upon the earth until now. There is coming a dark time that this earth has never known. Now, I've done a lot of studying of World War II. I don't know much about World War I seems to be too far behind me to even comprehend. World War II, I seem to be able to get a little comprehension of that because I was born during that time, okay? The mindset of the people that I grew up, it was still that it was not only the tribulation of the Great Depression, but it was the tribulation of World War II that formed our soul, formed our mind when we were babies. And so I go back and I try to discern the horrors and the terrible things that must have been in the minds of people. And I cannot imagine a more horrible time. And I'm especially thinking of the dear saints that must have lived in Germany and Ukraine and Czech and these places of Eastern Europe and France and the places along there where that war was just in full tilt. I try to imagine what these concentration camps. Surely, God, this is the worst time that ever could have happened on the world. But no, the Word of God says that it is coming a time more terrible than anything you can imagine from that. You probably remember those things more than I do. Yeah, you're older than I am. Yes. Okay. So, in a time like this, you're going to find out if you have enough oil for your lamp. Amen? You're going to find out if you have the sufficient life of the Spirit. Listen, you go through these tribulations that you're going through now, and you think they're really bad, but you know what? They're a Sunday school picnic compared to what's coming. Oh, yes. Yes, even the terrors of betrayal and divorce, as terrible and nauseating as it can get. Yes, I know how it hurts. Been there, done that. It's a terrible thing. But what's coming is worse. Now, I know that when I went through trials, I needed all the life of the Spirit I could get. I know that I needed the life in the body of Christ. I needed people that I could talk to, people that I could call. And the irony of it is that God sent me at that time to the farthest place in the Adirondacks that He could get me. North Creek, Newcomb. God, there's no people up here. But you know what? There were people up there. And they were good people. And they were God-sent people. Amen? It was the house of God. It was the plan of God. Amen. So we need to have our life of the Spirit. And it says there came a time when they found out they didn't have the oil, and where are you going to get the oil? Hello? Where did you get the oil?
I got the oil at meeting and in the prayer closet.
And in the prayer closet, how did you get it? You had to buy it. There was a price. There was a price you had to pay for it. Oh, I thought salvation was free. It is. The blood is free. But the likeness of Christ is not free. What do you have to pay? I have to die. Mark has to die. Christ has to come forth. You see, that's what the Lord told me 14 years ago on that way to the hospital. He said, "For you are dead." Oh, I'm still 14 years later trying to figure out what all that meant. There are volumes and volumes that those four words meant. And they're still coming. You know, the Lord can speak four words to you and it'll take you 20 years to feed on it. Man can speak to you paragraphs and paragraphs and pages and you forget it all. Why? Because it's man. But when the Spirit of God speaks, your spirit knows that you have heard from God. I'm telling you, brethren, I'm talking about oil. What I'm saying is buy your oil now. Because when midnight comes and the cry is made, listen, I think this is the cry of midnight right now. I think we've been hearing the cry of midnight for 20 years. You know, I tell you, God's time, God's day is not a 24-hour day. The day of the Lord, the cry, the midnight cry goes on for 20 years, 30 years, whatever. I don't know how long. It's not a time that we can measure in hours and calendars and things like that. This is the midnight cry, brethren. The bridegroom cometh, go ye out. Go ye out of my old aspirations and my old plans and my old loves. Go ye out to meet the bridegroom, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when the bridegroom takes his bride, he's going to take her completely and totally, and she will be completely sold out to him. There's not going to be any halfway measures. There's not going to be any halfway, well, let's try it for a while and see how it works. No, 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 no. That isn't the way it's going to be with him. Are we, the only way we can be prepared for that is if I don't exist. There's no Yancey. There's no Mark. There's no nothing. You know, it was so, in the ambulance, when they took me from the one hospital to the other, they asked me my name. I didn't know my name. And in my soul, in my spirit, I was thinking, well, I don't need it. You know, when I come into His face of the Lord, He will give me a name. Whatever name I had back there, it isn't going to matter. Finally, I thought of the name that I'd had for 60 whatever years. Oh, yes. I think that must be my name. No, we have to, you know, you're going to take, when the woman marries a man, the tradition is she takes on his name. So what will my name be? Mark in Christ? I don't know. He's going to give me this little, I'm not going to carry a white stone around in my pocket, you know. But it says he's going to give me a white stone, and what is written on it, nobody will know. I heard this preacher joking about it one time. I don't think he really understood what this white stone was. He said, well, I'll carry my white stone. And he says, I'll tell you what's written on my white stone if you tell me what's written on your white stone. I thought, no. This is not the way it's going to be. We're not going to be sharing our white stone. It's a thing between him and me. A secret. A personal thing. And I have no idea what it somehow I believe it must have something to do with the tribulation we've been through, the overcoming that we've been through, and I don't think it is anything that can be even said or written in words as we know it. Somebody was telling me one time that the thing about the white stone is when a man went to a trial years ago, they would find him either guilty or innocent. And if he was guilty, they gave him a black stone. If he was innocent, he had a white stone. And he could go free and know that he was absolved of guilt. Amen. There's another word here. Verse 12, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I'm talking about being awake. I'm talking about staying awake. What is the point of staying awake? So that you can watch and not be taken and not be deceived. And, you know, the disciples, Matthew 26, the disciples fell asleep. You know that. I'm looking for it here. Verse 38. He's in the garden. Verse 38. My soul, he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Now it seems the disciples themselves didn't have quite enough oil at this time either. Why? Because the filling of the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. They were still trying to do it on the flesh, but they couldn't. So he told them to watch and wait. Down in verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? All he was asking, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Amen? And then in the next verse, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Spirit has life. Spirit has life. Flesh does not have life. If you're depending on the flesh to get through, you're going to fail. If you're looking to the Spirit, you're going to come through. What I'm saying is, we need to become spiritual people. Amen? I want to just look at verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The disciples were still in the flesh, and their flesh was not taking them through sufficiently. They had to come through Pentecost to where they had the life of the Spirit. It was the lamp that was being lit. It was the light of the fire that was going to carry them through. And brethren, just because the lamp was lit once, you see those foolish virgins, their lamp was also lit once. But they said it is going out. It gone out means it's flickering, it's dying. We don't have very much spiritual life. You know, I don't know, have you ever heard the term that somebody is spiritually bankrupt? It's a sad state to be in, to be spiritually bankrupt. Let me just pick up one verse in Luke 11 and then we'll finish. Luke 11, 33. It's some of the similar things that the Lord was saying on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, no man, when he hath lighted a lamp, that should be lamp, remember the word candle, really nowhere appears in the original language. It's lamp. No man, when he hath lighted a lamp, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a lampstand, as lampstand, amen, that they might come and may see the light. What did Jesus say? I am the what? I am the light of the world. Amen? And he's telling us that he wants us in his likeness to be a light as well. The light of the body. Listen, we're talking about the soul now. All right? The spirit being the lamp of the Lord, the light of the body. We get our life from the Spirit. The Spirit is what enlightens our soul. Our soul is what moves our body. The light of the body is the eye. What's the eye? The eye is that receptacle of receiving light. These are spiritual language, brethren. Amen. Therefore, if thine eye is single, what is a single eye? A single eye is not distracted, subverted, distracted. Amen. None of those things. It is focused. God is saying we are to focus in these last days of darkness and tribulation. Amen. If thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Why do we avoid the things of the world? Because it brings us into darkness. It has no life. It has no light. Not only does it lack light, but it has a negative effect of drawing us the life out of us as well. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If the whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of the lamp doth give thee light. Amen. I think we've gone far enough. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day, and we ask surely that we will be quickened by thy Spirit this day, that we will know the life and the light that you are, and Lord, that we will come into that image and fullness of the likeness of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for your plan for us, and I do pray, Lord, that we would accomplish and fulfill the calling that you have for every one of us in the body. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.